Okay, I'd like to call the City of Ridgetop Board of Mayor and Aldermen to order. It is 6:30 on November the 19th, 2024. So Dan, if you could lead us in the invocation.
Lord, thank you for your love, mercy, and grace on us all. Thank you for giving us another day to serve you. Just pray for this board, pray for this city. You'll give this board wisdom as they lead us. Just pray that we accomplish your plan and your purpose, your mission. We thank you for all the people that serve us here in the city. Pray that you bless them and keep them. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Ms. Kelly.
Mayor Shaw.
Here.
Alderman Gregory.
Here.
Alderman Harrison.
Here.
Alderman Martin.
Here.
Vice Mayor Sinek.
Here.
Attorney Russell Freeman.
Here.
If everyone could take a couple minutes and read the minutes from October the 29th, 2024.
Make a motion, we accept the minutes from October 29th, 2024.
Excuse me.
I'll second.
Any comments? Are you all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, citizens' comments.
I shall go first. Afternoon, everyone. Number one, John, I'd like to thank you for your service here. Not involved as much as I used to be, but I noticed when I passed by all the events, you're picking up money, doing something. I know you're not getting paid very much, but I do. As a citizen, appreciate you putting your time in there. I know there's a lot of people volunteering in this city, but thank you for your time. I hope you stick around.
Thank you.
Didn't know you that well to begin with, but looked like you've done a pretty fair job putting your time in, so thank you on that. Now you're going to be talking about Plymouth Lane in a little while. There's 90 acres back here that they're building a house on. You're going to vote on putting a gas line back there. Would also like to let you know that we are in talks if the city would allow it, with hopefully annexing that into Robertson County Ridgetop. Davidson County, we've hired an attorney. They do basically have said they don't want to provide services up here due to they're coming off Ridgetop roads. Liability getting up here, blah, 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 long story short. So just putting that on the plate, we're a long, long way from ever getting this to y'all, but it is in discussion. And by providing the service, that's what kind of opened the door. Obviously, he wants gas service. It's not going to be any development back there, but y'all, I'm not saying you have to approve it, but it's just be something he's asking for. And I thought, like the city, Brian brought it up that maybe that there had already been a discussion. So if it does go forward, just like to know he would like to see that happen and would like to be part of Ridgetop. So just put that on the back burner. I don't know, there have been a number discussed on the gas line. Was that discussed last night, or do you have any paperwork?
It's been discussed. My understanding is that he was going to pay $10,550.
It's right at 11.
Yes, right at 11,000. And the installation cost would cost approximately 18 to run the line.
Okay. All right. So that's final out of pocket, we roughly 10 to 11,000 out of his.
Out of his pocket, and then.
There have been three people that the line will pass in front of that have asked to be put on. So when that starts, we might want to consult a few neighbors on that. Okay. Obviously, hopefully get a few more customers out of that line.
Yes.
Making a little progression. Moving on to something else, this is for Russell. No, we just got done with elections, and me, for one, I do not like signs in the city. I think it looks trashy. But as when you ask someone nicely not to put a sign in your yard, and it continues to happen, I'd like the city to look at some kind of ordinance, maybe a fine possible. If you don't have permission, do not stick your name, your sign on anybody else's property. It is, in my opinion, it's a violation of my property, what my views are, and if there's no penalty for it, then it's going to continue to happen. I asked for it not to happen 2 years ago. It happened again this year. Return the signs, but what's the reason for not having a penalty for it? If you're going to keep allowing it to happen, it's going to continue to happen. We want to put up signs that talk about things we don't want to talk about in front of your yard, and we'll change it a little bit. In other words, if I want to go have some signs made and put it in front of everybody's house on board, it's misrepresentation of y'all. There's no penalty on me. So something needs to happen here. I don't think it's right, and I don't like it. I spoke to Mr. Dale about it, his wife, and they were in complete agreement, but something needs to change. I don't want them on my property, so.
I think that's something we got to look at.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave this last one off, because I just feel like I want to get into that tonight. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, wow, 3 minutes are up.
I got 3 minutes by 12 months.
Anyone else? Okay. All right, commission reports. Utilities. Gas department had 46 811 locate tickets, had 10 work orders, changed out 2 valves, had meter reading and re-reading, disconnects and reconnects. Sewer department had 5 work orders, pumped 3 tanks due to bad pumps and or high sludge levels, changed out 2 pumps, had 46 811 locate tickets, and they had disconnects and reconnects. For parks, they worked on the fence at Pioneer Park. They cut the grass at Pioneer, kept up to date with the air filters at Station Park, worked on the basketball court at Pioneer, cleaned the bathrooms at Station, and fixed the bathroom at Station Park after the vandalism. Finance.
Still doing the special audit.
All right. Parks.
Parks. So they have put in the basketball court at Pioneer Park and striped it. Mm-hmm. That's about, I guess, probably the only new thing. The goals are coming. And then coming up on December 6th is the parade, and then we'll have cookies and pictures with Santa back at the Wilson House at Station Park. And still looking into getting some sort of security cameras or whatnot for the vandalism that keeps happening in the back rooms and at the park, period.
Streets.
We discussed last night a couple of different projects that I'd like to get off my plate. We have a request to have striping done in front of Watauga, however we pronounce that, of the crosswalk. That was for $1,500. And I also have a bid for putting stripes along Cobb to delineate the narrowness of it so nobody goes off into any of the ditches.
Do you have that plan?
4250 for that. And that's what I've got outstanding. And I would like to make a motion to add these to the meeting tonight so that we can have a vote on them and move them down the road. Do I have a second?
We should do that as the last item of business.
Okay. Fire.
I do not have a report. We did have a pancake breakfast. Went over fairly well. Seemed to have a good turnout, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. So that's all I got.
All right. Planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning. Meeting is not till next Thursday. You know, there's some things on the agenda. So I'll be getting with the person who will be taking over planning and zoning and bringing them up to speed on whatever's in the works, including the subdivision regulations that have been on the agenda and on the horizon for the last year. Hopefully very soon having those in communication with our engineer, and I don't think they're quite ready to be approved yet. But I'll get together with the next person. So.
Sounds good.
That's this Thursday at the PNC.
This Thursday. This Thursday, yes.
This Thursday?
This week.
This Thursday.
Yep. Day after tomorrow.
Thank you, Tim.
48 hours from now.
Yes, this Thursday. Since the following one is Thanksgiving. So.
Okay, business reports. Ms. Kelly.
I was just going to report we have ordered the modems for Wi-Fi at Ridgetop Station Park.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think we've ordered two. One for the bathroom area and one for the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're where?
Verizon.
Okay.
That it? Okay. Great. Attorney Russell Freeman.
Yes, at the request of the board last meeting, looked into the statutes in regard to this residence that we have that's got, appears to be either some sort of a rehabilitation facility. When I say rehabilitation, a facility where people going through rehabilitation may reside, or a halfway house. I think Mr. Sinopin called it a halfway house. There are two distinct classifications. Obviously, it's allowed. There are some restrictions based on the classification in which the residence would be. Allows up to 8 individuals.
Okay.
Plus 3, they can be, I guess you'd say, what do they call them, support staff or guardians. They can be there as well. Now, so it is allowed in single family dwelling residential neighborhoods. We also have what is called the residences of persons with disabilities. Now we know the term disabilities is a pretty broad definition now, which in this instance clearly includes those that would be recovering from drug and alcohol abuse and substance abuse. Person with disability does not include those persons under our statute with a mental illness and because of such mental illness. In other words, you have a mental illness, but if it poses a likelihood of serious harm or who have been convicted of serious criminal conduct related to such mental illness, those persons are not classified. So the end result of that is you cannot operate a mental health facility. I don't know how you differentiate medically rehabilitation from drugs and alcohol from not some need for mental health assistance as well. I think primarily they want to determine that it can't be an in-house rehabilitation. In other words, you can't be receiving medical mental illness treatment in this facility. Okay, those are licensed separately outside of those that would be in your neighborhood. Now, we have what's called sober living homes, which are the ones that have the folks that are there that are have been suffering from drug abuse and addiction, and are through spiritual guidance, some types of therapy, employment, or living in these types of homes. So again, you got to, it's got to be alcohol free and drug free, and there are some concepts that they're trying to promote again: healthy living, lifestyle change, you know, self-sufficiency, and this sort of thing. Those folks may be receiving outpatient healthcare services. In other words, you can't have doctors coming there or therapists. It's got to be outpatient at a facility and or at a substance abuse or addiction treatment outside of the home. Now, with the next level, they have what's called transitional. This is a new term for halfway house, transitional housing providers. And this is set up and have guidelines to the Tennessee Department of Corrections. Some more stringent guidelines and regulation. However, all of it is very, very heavily weighted in the bureaucratic, regulatory, licensing, who can be there, and providing reports and all of this. I dare say that probably if the city was going to monitor this place, it would almost have to have probably a full-time employee just to monitor what's going on in and out of the facility, the house rather. Now, there's been some concern about what type of place this is. Is it a transitional housing? Is it a sober living house? I think we need to find that out from the owner, because either one requires some licensure. And I don't think we on our books, ordinances, have anything that requires the license. They have to have a state license. But we could have that license requirement as well, and that, and provide and have them provide certain information to us. These transitional housing places do have the option for sex offenders. It's regulated on how many they can have, distance from certain schools, libraries, parks, things, you know, public facilities and things more or less where probably children are going to be, obviously. They have some more regulations there. I don't know if anybody knows what type of place this is, how it's classified, to where we can determine what requirements they have to provide.
I know I spoke in person to the counselor who, they've got a house, what you call house manager? And they had a counselor when I was there, and they were having a Bible study. Had a good conversation with everyone. They called it a recovery.
Yeah, they were recovery sober living house.
Yes, recovery. They were all some type of substance abuse, whether it was drugs or alcohol, but they'd all been clean, they were all working, and obviously it was a sober house. So that was the term that they were using. The last thing you said about transitional, they're allowing certain types of sex offenders.
Well, that's if you have that type of house. That's your traditional halfway house, where you're transitioning someone that, you know, has been in jail, incarcerated, and they're trying to get them. They have certain restrictions. The Department of Corrections regulates that.
Okay.
They have to be there for a certain time. They have to be employed. They have to have inspections. I mean, it's heavily regulated and I presume monitored. I don't know.
Being the recovery house, some of these had mentioned being incarcerated. I think the thing that when I spoke to Adam, our city planner, he said there is a provision in there where the city can request a background check on whoever's living in the home to make sure there are no violent offenders. Anyone that has a violent history would not be able to reside there in a sober living house. So we are within our rights to request that.
Right.
Okay.
And, we probably should do that. Again, I don't know if it's a business organization, a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit.
It actually owns the house?
Yes, okay. The nonprofit purchased it. They've set up this halfway house for a recovery center. But there have been three letters, I think, sent from the city requesting some more information. And I personally asked them for a background check on every individual when I was there at the house. There has been no compliance with that. So that's why we've involved you to put a little teeth into this, because we want to know, is there anyone there with a violent history?
Right.
And that's living there.
And I believe we're probably going to have some sort of ordinances that allow us a little more statutory power.
Okay.
Because again, these are all regulated under the federal government. So we can't just walk in and say, we need to see everybody here. Well, what authority do you have? You don't have an ordinance requiring this.
Okay.
So that would be something for planning and zoning to discuss. Okay. Adam would be a good resource, obviously.
Okay.
And I could work with him on any drafts for that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I guess first step is maybe if you could send a letter out requesting, is this a transition or?
I think we probably know the answer, but I think it's probably more for sober living housing for the transition there, not for criminals. But still, these people do have some rights, they have some privacy rights, so obviously we got to deal with that. But I'll be able to, we can determine, if you give me the address, I can actually find out exactly who owns the property. You know who it is, get the deed and go from there.
And we have some of that information I can send you too.
And we can talk about how many vehicles are allowed, because right now they've got about 8 or 9 cars lined up every which way all over the yard, and that's
Well, luckily we probably do have ordinance for parking on grass. Not on the actual driveway, gravel, asphalt, or whatever's designated. But then they just move to the street.
I know. You look like my street or your street.
Yeah, we've got to figure that out.
That's all.
Okay. All right, Mayor's comments. I'd like to say, thank you to John for the last 2+ years. It's been an honor serving with you. You've helped considerably, and I really appreciate it. And look forward to working with the new board, coming on board. All right, old business. We have ordinance number 2024-105. This is an ordinance to amend section 4-308 of the City of Ridgetop Municipal Code in regards to the appointment of commissioners to certain positions. This, I think, the major change, and also originally it was for a period of 4 years. And this new ordinance will be for a period of 2 years.
I think it was for 3 years.
Yeah. 3 years. Okay.
Which was?
3 years.
What made it odd? But everything's on 2 and 4.
Yeah.
But that was for 3.
Okay. So, do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the ordinance to amend section 4308 of the City of Ridgetop Municipal Code.
Second.
Any comments? Questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. New business. First on the agenda is to swear in the newly elected council. We need to come down there, sir.
Yeah, that's it.
Right there.
Yep.
I state your name.
I, Dale Gilmore.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I have met all the qualifications.
That I have met all the qualifications.
For the office of alderman that I am about to assume.
For the office of alderman that I am now about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And of the state of Tennessee.
And of the state of Tennessee.
And of, excuse me, and the charter and ordinances of the city of Bridgetop.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Bridgetop.
And I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office of alderman.
The duties of office of alderman.
To which I have been elected, so help me God.
To which I have been elected, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The duties of the office of alderman.
The duties of the office of the alderman.
To which I have been elected.
To which I have been elected.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. I state your name.
I, Tim Shaw.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I have met all the qualifications.
That I have met all the qualifications.
For the office of mayor that I'm about to assume.
For the office of mayor that I'm about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the state of Tennessee.
And of the state of Tennessee.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Bridgetop.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Bridgetop.
And I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office of mayor.
The duties of the office of mayor.
To which I have been elected.
To which I have been elected.
So help me God.
So help me God. Vice Mayor for the next 4 years.
Okay.
So I have a motion.
I make a motion we appoint Kristen Harrison as Vice Mayor for the next 4 years.
I second it.
Okay, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I guess. Okay, next one is the commission positions. What I am suggesting is for finance and administration, I've got Kristen. For parks and recreation, I've got Kristen. Let's see, for public works and streets, it'll be myself. And I'll also take utilities. Okay, for planning and zoning and code administration, I've got Dale. Fire and police, Monty. And community and economic development, Alderman Martin. So, do I have a motion? Nobody can remember what I did.
I make a motion we accept the commission assignments that were just reported by Mayor Tim Harris.
Tim Harris? Wow. Let's start that one over.
Okay. Do I need to read all this?
Or? Either that or the city recorder can read it.
Okay. I have the motion made by Alderman Gregory to appoint the following positions. Finance and Administration, Alderman Harrison. Public Works and Streets, Mayor Shaw. Parks and Recreation, Alderman Harrison. Planning and Zoning and Codes Administration, Alderman Gilmore. Community and Economic Development, Alderman Martin. Utilities, Mayor Shaw. And Fire and Police, Alderman Gregory. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next item up is resolution number 24-07. This is a resolution of the Board of Mayor and Aldermen of the City of Ridgetop to provide check signing authority for the City of Ridgetop's bank accounts to myself, Kristen Harrison, and City Recorder Kelly Ryder.
I make a motion we accept resolution 24-07, a resolution to provide check signing service authority to the City of Ridgetop bank accounts to Alderman Harrison, Mayor Tim Shaw, and to Recorder Kelly Ryder.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the next item that we've got up for discussion is I'd like to put out a bid advertisement for the paving of the fire hall parking lot and entrance. It hasn't been done in, from what I understand, over 20 plus years. Originally, there's a strip in the back parking lot that the top layer was never put down, and now it's just crumbling. So it's past time, past due, to have repaved. So if we could put this out for bid and see how it comes back. So I have a motion.
Make a motion we put a bid advertisement out for the paving of the back parking lot for the fire hall.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Any questions?
Yeah. When that EMS station was built, originally it was designed to pull around back and pull through. Obviously that did not work out. So they come up with an agreement to gravel. I haven't been over there, it hasn't been. But Howard Bradley at the time said the next time we paved, the county would be willing to work with us on paving that strip. Now, whether it's been, I've been back here 5, 10 years.
Still gravel.
Okay. So just keep that in mind. That was a discussion that was had, and at that time we had run out of money for building a facility. But
okay,
it might be a good time to bring that up since they're using, the county is using our insurance and to access their building, because it is a convenience to them, not to us.
Okay, if you could get that information to me, I'd appreciate it. I can reach out to them.
It's been a conversation. I don't know. I'll try to remember
it. Thank you. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next item up is the contract that we're working on with OHM for asset management. This is a contract that will start the planning and proper procedures for us to map out the entire city's where gas valves are, where our sewer valves are, any problems that we have with them. We'll be able to maintain this information much better than we currently are.
We don't currently have a map of all the gas valves?
No.
Not a GIS map.
Not a GIS map.
We have paper map. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
This will be a GIS. More sophisticated.
A little more so modern.
Yes. Bring us up to date. And the cost of this is approximately $36,000 that's going to be covered by our ARPA grant.
And now this is just the consultant piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure.
This is not the software, any of the information, any of that.
Correct.
Just the consultant.
Correct.
I make a motion we accept the consulting from OHM Advertising Advancing Communities.
In the amount of
$36,000.
Not to exceed
$36,000.
I'll second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item up is, as Josh mentioned earlier, this is a gas line installation for Plummel Lane. The homeowner is in discussion with us now on the amount that he will pay versus the amount of the overall installation. It will be an extension for our gas line that I feel we'll be able to pick up at least two more customers, potentially three or more. So it'd be a good investment for down the road.
And did I understand that you said these other folks wanted to hook on, or they'd be willing to assist in the installation?
Okay. They're willing to get looked this evening. They would look at getting on. When it was rain, I've reached out to them because obviously when the gas line is not live, it'd be a lot easier to tap at that time. A lot safer, obviously. So there's three on Plymouth Lane I've talked to, and without having a price to tell them what a tap would cost, and obviously not knowing where they would put it, it was just kind of an open discussion. The reason $10,000 comes up is because a one-inch line would service this one house, but as we've had discussions with the mayor, if you're going to run a line, you might as well run a line big enough if anybody else wants to tap on along that way. It would benefit the city long-term. And just so there was development back there 15 years from now, obviously you've got ample gas service to supply more homes. I don't foresee that happening in my lifetime, but I don't know. I know Ms. Rogers, Marty Wall, Skylar Wall, and there's one more person that's talked to me there. They said they'd be glad to sign up. That's just more money coming back to the city with tap fees.
I was just wanting to get a clarification and then make sure the board understood what you said.
How many acres is it back there?
90.
And this gas line would be, I assume, as he said, large enough for future growth back there if it did happen?
Yes.
Basically running a 20, you run a 2-inch line 2,500 feet, which is to the edge of his property. So therefore, most of your lines at Ridgetop are 2 to 4 inches. That will take on, like 2-inch lines up to 60 houses. So don't quote me on that. But then from there, it would be a 1-inch line on his property that would just feed his house. So.
And it just don't make sense to do it, not correct. Plan for the future.
Correct.
If,
correct.
One way or the other.
That's what I was looking at. So do I have a motion?
Do we have to know an amount for this motion? Or are we just agreeing to the installation?
Agreeing, I think, right now to the installation.
Well, I think we need to possibly nail down the total cost to the city and determine. I would say we probably ought to make a determination that it needs to be laid and installed.
Yes.
But then, obviously, we need to get a dollar commitment from this resident homeowner and then probably come back at that point in time. Do we have a written commitment from him?
No. No, that's okay.
You got a check in my back pocket right now for whatever this amount is. I'll write you a check right now. And that's what he's been told all along. Like, he's ready to do it. The reason the 10,000, just so we're clear, the reason the 10,500 was for the 1-inch line. And in discussions, the only reason we're upsizing is just for future growth. I did not see that he should have to pay for that because it's not benefiting him at all. It would benefit the city long term, so that's the reason it's going to cost more than the $10,550 or whatever it is, I think is what we said earlier.
Yes.
So that's the reason it's $18,000 and he's willing to pay $10,550
or
whatever it is.
All right. If that's the commitment and we think it's solid, which it sounds like it is, and I think you can make that motion.
Okay.
And we've got the. Who's going to do the installation?
J.B. Gibbs.
Okay.
That's.
At $18,000.
Yes, at $18,000.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we have a motion on that. Question.
Yes. Would that include the house that's out there now on the, you know, not the new development? Does she have gas?
There's 2 or 3 houses she does not.
There's no gas in your third
one.
Yeah,
there's no gas up there at all.
Your third,
would
the
it
gas?
Behoove us to make it big enough if that house
ever?
Well,
that's what we're doing.
Yes. And then 2 out on the property.
Yes.
So it would be 3 houses at least.
Yes, at least.
Okay.
At least.
The gas line be coming from Mr. Gilmore's house up Baxter onto Plymouth, and she is one that has requested service when it was available, so that's
great.
The reason for the upsizing line. So.
And they've got a daughter that's going to build a house right next to the Baxter house that we bought. They've got 10 acres there that she's going to build that.
Okay.
Who's this?
The Walls, they've got a daughter that just got a service that she's going to build next to that house.
Bigger.
Yes.
Okay. Well, my understanding is y'all have the 2-inch line in stock, so
yes.
I don't know where this $18,000 figure's coming from, if you're figuring man hours or what, but if you've got the 2-inch line in stock, technically all you're really paying is the cost of pipe and your labor.
No, you have to replace it if you use it.
What's that?
Yeah, it may be in stock, but if you use it, you got to replace it.
Yeah, but your gas line also has a shelf life. You can only, if it's not in the ground, it can only absorb so much sunshine. It's got to be put in the ground. And that was also a discussion that we discussed. It's not like he's trying to put the city in a bad spot here. I think he's making a more than fair offer to
I agree.
To work with y'all.
I agree.
Are there any other houses along there that want it too?
Yeah, Josh just mentioned.
Josh, what about the ones on going not up Plymouth but past Plymouth? Do they all have gas?
Walkers?
Yeah.
I don't think the Walkers have gas.
Well, I think this will open up the opportunity for us to expand even further.
That would be a separate project. From Plymouth up, that'd be a separate.
Right.
but it's got to come up past you and around the corner.
It's already in front of my house.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what we're looking at here is the installation of a gas line on Plummel Lane, where the homeowner has agreed to pay $10,550, and our initial estimated cost to install the line is $18,000.
I make a motion we approve the gas line installation on Plummel Lane in the amount of $18,000. Not to exceed $18,000, with the homeowner paying $10,550.
Second.
Any questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Who seconded that? Did you second?
Okay, next item up. Okay, oh, that's right.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah.
For me to do that? Okay. Okay, I'd like to make a motion to add painting of the crosswalk on Lake Road at Watauga School, and actually kind of separately, and painting of the edge stripes on Cobb to the agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, first item up will be the striping for Cobb Street in the amount, it's a 30, I think my glasses,
I know,
can't say
it's
it.
Terrible.
3,300 linear feet of striping with Swarco traffic paint and glass beads applied to the paint. In the amount of $4,250. I think in this particular situation, as narrow as the street is, it's probably a good idea to move forward and get this thing straight after that culvert is replaced.
It might have to wait till spring, depending on the weather.
So do I have a motion?
Did I make a motion?
You put it on the table.
I make a motion that we accept the bid for striping of Cobb Street and all the details of it for $4,250.
Now this is, just to be clear, this is just the edges, right?
Yes.
Just the edges.
The two edges, okay.
Yes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item up is Watauga Crosswalk. This is to install thermoplastic crosswalk with Swarco hot applied road marking compound and Swarco glass beads over in front of Watauga. This would create a crosswalk. As we discussed last night, unfortunately there's nobody to monitor it.
It has guard lights. It has all the lights.
It has the lights. So, Open Merit, we have a motion.
I make a motion that we accept the bid to put the striping in for the pedestrian way on Watauga, on Lake Road. Do I have a second?
In the amount of $1,500.
In the amount of $1,500. Thank you, sir.
I'll second.
Any questions?
Yes, and this may be something for Russell. What are our liabilities of doing this? If we put a crosswalk going across Lake Road there, does the city assume any responsibilities for doing this?
I don't think you assume any responsibilities. I think that if you are crossing the crosswalk, that gives you as a pedestrian a little more right away and supposed to be a vigil. I mean, may want to consider some sort of a pedestrian crosswalk sign if it's a MUTC regulated sign or something. So this isn't for the school, it's just a pedestrian crosswalk.
Well, it would be going into the school.
Into the school, okay.
Crosswalk, yes.
Are the sidewalks there?
Yes.
On both sides?
No.
Are people crossing all over the place now versus in a designated crosswalk?
They're using the designated crosswalk.
It's just not well maintained.
Right. It just hasn't been since they put in the lights and all on others coming and going in both directions. It hasn't been marked. I think it might have been marked at one point, but it's not visible anymore.
Okay. I don't think it. No increase in liability. You've already got it. If anything, it probably decreases your liability because you've got a lighted crosswalk now and maybe signage in the future that designates
it. We don't have a lighted crosswalk. We have a sign further down the road that says you're coming into a school zone.
Yes.
But there's no lighted crosswalk.
I thought we said that it was lighted. The lights are on.
Yeah, but it's just telling you you're coming into a school zone, but it's right. It's further down the road. It's not near the crosswalk.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not designated in the crosswalk. Go ahead.
I just wonder, is it the one that's in front of the home?
Yes.
Where'd you end up? What dog is it?
Oh, Lake Road.
In front of Cole Street.
On the,
it's at the exit to the school.
I think there was one there one time.
It's, okay. It's at King Street. It's at another street.
Just after King Street.
Yeah. That's right. There was a residence across the street that used to use it frequently. I think her child was young. I don't know if they still do or not.
The same. There's a residence there with a child who's, I think, 9, who uses it.
But it's on the opposite. There's another sidewalk on that side, but the houses over there, I guess if they walked to school, they would naturally cross somewhere.
At the crosswalk.
Right.
You would hope.
Yeah, that's right. You hope.
I'll see an issue with it.
My other question is, I know you talked to the county, and they said it was our streets, they didn't do whatever they want. Have we talked to the school? Does the school have any objection to it?
No.
So they don't care one way or the other?
They don't care one way or the other. They stated to me that there's basically 2 children that walk down that area. But they come in through the woods.
Only one does.
Yeah. Well, she said two.
Well, she doesn't know. She'd have to cross it to go through the woods.
But that's, they didn't. They were totally indifferent.
Okay.
But didn't she show some concern that they didn't have somebody down there? That
yes.
They didn't have a
They did show that concern that there's nobody down there to monitor the crosswalk.
No, there's no way they're monitoring them crossing now anyway. So, either location. But
yeah, of course it's a concern, but I don't think that there's any requirement. I mean,
now, if there is a crosswalk, though, and people see a crosswalk, they may be looking more for pedestrian than they might otherwise.
Yeah. I'm definitely not against it. I just want to make sure that we've examined it from all angles. Yes.
But, too, just speaking from when I was in school, not Watauga, which I attended, but some places when you have crosswalks, a lot of pedestrians make a lot of assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the flip side of the dangers.
Right.
They take a crosswalk, but they just take off.
That
the car should stop, but they're right.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my. I'm ambivalent, I guess. It's a lot of money. I'm not a lot of money. It's some money, but I just think that would be one of the problems. Okay.
That was one of my last night when we was talking about it. Is there an implied safety that you don't really have there? But
Well, I feel like pedestrians have the right of way anyway. I don't know if that's.
You technically do, there, but
still don't mean you're not.
Obviously, you get.
So,
why don't you go there and walk across 41? I think that pedestrian right of way is when you're walking with traffic, not across it. But I mean, technically, there's a inherent duty that if someone's trying to cross the road or you're making an attempt to cross, that you would slow down, you wouldn't run them over. But I mean, there's crosswalks everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That are unmanned and don't have signage.
That's right.
You know. I think the ones that are sort of deceptive for the pedestrian is the one that has the light that says you must stop for a pedestrian. And if you, a lot of times, you know, you just start walking across through there. You just assume these people, without even looking left or right, are going to stop.
One in East Nashville. I came through it tonight.
Lights
flashing all over the place.
How many people did you hit?
Hey, I managed to dodge every one of them. But people, I mean, it's five lanes through there, so you know, people come the other direction. The man made the cross, but I was had my eyes closed half the time. So it's like, oh, they're not going to stop. They're going to stop. They did. It's a miracle.
Okay, so do we have a second?
You do. You do.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Can we revisit this about getting some signs up?
Yes.
We'll need
to get some signs ordered for the crosswalk.
And that would just be a regular MUTCD.
Yes.
Regulated sign designated a crosswalk for people, hopefully, to go to, get a little more comfort about crossing and the caution for the drivers. Okay.
We need two of those.
I guess one either direction.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next item up.
I make a motion that we cancel the city workshop for December 17th, 2024 at 6:30 p.m.
Oh, man, really? I said it.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I make a motion we cancel the city meeting for December 18th, 2024 at 6:30 p.m.
I second it.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Kristen, you're up.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
I'll second it.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.